This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Brian Fernandez and Kusu Chuang with the top business stories of the day. We could begin with a look at Volvo. It plans to build only electric and hybrid vehicles starting 2019. This is a major move because it's the first major automaker to abandon cars and the internal combustion engine. CEO Hanken Samuelsson said the move is dictated by customer demand. And so in 2 years, all new Volvo vehicles will have some form of electric propulsion.
And Sharad, you're absolutely right. I think this really marks the start of the death of the internal combustion engine. And I think Volvo's decision is also motivated in part by its parent company's government, the Chinese government's effort to reduce harmful emissions in internal combustion engines. Now, one of the things interesting, and I'm forward selling a grill that we're doing next week, we have in the studios Volvo Malaysia's managing director, Leonard Stenard. And he's going to talk about also hybrid vehicles and stuff. He used to be responsible as a VP of their electric vehicle propulsion group. So he will bring some insights when we speak to him next week.
You said Leonard Stenard.
Leonard Skinner, right?
That's what I thought immediately.
Okay, so you know how there's this big, huge move towards autonomous vehicles and transport as a service, and by the year 2030, all cars will be computers and wizardry and whatever, right? Can I make a daring prediction? Remember the watchmaking industry, right? Went from mechanical watches to digital and analog and, you know, those quartz watches. Big thing in the 80s. Everybody used to have one. And then now everybody's going back to mechanical because, you know, mechanicals, and, you know, the little engines that stay inside. What about in the future where you've got a small select band of automakers, whether it's a Pagani or whether it's a Koenigsegg or whether it's a Ferrari, which have still internal combustion engines, and they're the ones to go for?
But I think, Chuang, that could work, especially with classic cars. And you see, as an investment asset class, classic cars have been appreciating and outstripping all other asset classes, rare Ferraris,
not really,
Porsches,
not all,
and so
no,
forth.
Quite a few.
And
but you know, look, like today in watchmaking, right? Some of the biggest brands, Rolex, you know, Patek Philippe, Audemars Piguet, they've all got mechanical movements. They've all ditched the quartz digital movements. So I don't know whether it's one of those things where it's very much a de rigueur now and very much the flavor of the day. But in time to come.
But for the mass market, we're talking about the mass market here, driving demand for electrical
maybe
cars.
Maybe one day,
right?
Mechanical cars will come back. You know, the engine.
I think
will come
that
back.
We don't get our story right with climate change, we'll go back to the horse and buggy if we're lucky.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think you tried to do that earlier. And I just ignored you.
Okay, so the question is, of course, with the electric car issue, is the ecosystem of, you know, those ports that allow you to recharge your battery and such. I mean, do we have a sense of, say, Malaysia, whether we have either on policy level or in terms of building infrastructure that would encourage electric cars?
So at a policy level, we do. In fact, several years ago, the government came up with incentives for EEV, what they call EEV vehicles. And so favorable tax incentives were given. And I think about 4 years ago, Audi took the first initiative and brought in a special A6 model.
Hybrid, yeah. Fantastic. Sold out.
Sold out. In fact, we were the largest market for Audi in the world. I think we for that particular A6, it was sold at 280,000 ringgit. And now you see a plug-in infrastructure really starting. Now, BMW has a special model, I think, for a 330e, which is a plug-in vehicle, which sells for only 240,000 without the government.
Only, yeah?
Only two.
Last of the big spenders like you, Brian.
Well, the thing is, the actual price of that vehicle without the incentives would probably be in the region of 350,000. So there's a real take-up rate, apparently, at BMW.
So the markup that's actually going to excise duties and government taxes and all kinds of bureaucratic costs. Real, I mean, look at the US, where the same car probably had command for one-third the price, right?
Okay, so of course. There's also news that Tesla sales have flatlined. I'm not flatlined, it suggests death, but it has flattened. And what does this suggest, though, of demand?
Well, I think that the whole Tesla story is a question of Dutch tulip all over again. They have been overvalued by the market. Their market capitalization exceeds that of Ford and General Motors. But the reality is Look at Volvo, traditional automaker now abandoning and going fully electric. Those premiums on valuations will come down tremendously moving forward. So if you're a Tesla investor, I don't know, but if I were you, I would get out.
Cheer. Warren's best friend, this one.
Okay, let's have time to look at Coop. The retirement fund says that it's expressed interest in acquiring the ANZ Banking Group stake in AMB Holdings if the proposed RHB-AMB merger goes through.
Yeah, so they've gotten a regulatory approval to begin talks. And the thing is quite nice at this point in time because both RHB and AMB are trading just one-time book value, right? Compared to, say, at the time when Bank Bank bought Bank International Indonesia, I think they bought it for nearly four times book value or thereabouts. So it's got opportunity for those two banks to get together now. Coop is eyeing the 10% stake that ANZ will have in the merged entity post-merger if it happens. And that will mark their debut entry into the financial services sector because as a portfolio investor, they don't have a bank. They have 19% Bursa Malaysia, but they don't have a bank at this point in time.
So what else is there? What is there other headwinds for this merger?
So let me just qualify. They do have small stakes below 5% in both EPF and RHB, but it'll be the first time they have it something in the excess of 10%.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour and then we'll have the news. And after that, the opening numbers on the stock exchange and we'll have more analysis, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.